I do represent two school districts that are unaccredited. That is the Normandy School District as well as the Riverview School District. But I also represent school districts that are right on the line of becoming either provisionally accredited or unaccredited. I have to tell you that we have been talking about education for the last couple of years when it comes to student transfers. And I want to commend everyone who is on this committee, as well as those who are in the audience, who have participated actively in the conversation as it regards to students who need a quality education. I will tell you that after this summer, when I thought that I was doing the most that I could do when it came to education, things changed on August 9th. And I was on the streets with people who felt very injured. And one of the things that I figured out is the way that young people responded in a human disaster was completely reflective and indicative of the level of education they received. The determination that I had is that as a state, we have been failing our kids. We have allowed a system where there are a lot of people who want to continue to support the status quo, who have been winning year after year and decade after decade and failing our children. We have allowed people, young people that I represent, to be failed knowingly. And after August 9th, I figured out, no more. No more. Because our children deserve better than what they are giving. And the status quo that continues to control this General Assembly year after year, they have to understand that they have to come to the table and negotiate and be practical. That's one of the values that we have here in the state of Missouri, is being practical and being honest about where we are. If our communities in St. Louis are failing in education to our children, that has every impact on the rest of the state. It has every impact on the amount of money that comes into our general revenue. It has every impact in the world of how we do when we compete with other states. And so what I wanted to do this year is start with what ended up on the governor's desk. Now, there are some things that we took out in Senate Bill 2 or 22 because they had passed in other bills. And there are other things that I kept in, but there are other things that I wanted to add back in. So I'll just go through this. And I'm being pretty broad when I go over some of the points of Senate Bill 22, and Senate Bill 493 from last year. We wanted to create a structure to bring sensibility to a chaotic system, to statutes that are 20 or 30 years old. And it was very mechanical what we did. It was very technical what we did. We were looking and identifying different triggers that would impact policy in multiple ways. And we were able to sustain that. And then at the 11th hour, we figured out that there was one option that would provide students an opportunity to really grow in their educational experience. And that was one of the sticking points that our governor did not support in that. But we move on, and as the chair of this committee has indicated, our governor has actively been participating in multiple ways when it comes to education, and we're trying to negotiate this in multiple meetings. So, this bill does have the local private option still intact like it did last year. It still deals with reasonable transfer limits as it deals with class size ratios. Part of the problem that we dealt with last year was negotiating the tuition payments. We know if we asked for 100% of a tuition rate from a sending school district, that it would likely bankrupt that sending school district, and then we'd have other problems. And so Senator Schmidt, as well as myself, we came up with an option A and an option B. But it also disallowed transfers going into struggling districts. So if you are a school district like Ferguson Florissant or University City, and you're right on that line, as I discussed earlier, where you're about to go provisional, you can only accept students if you're at 75% of the APR or higher. And this is one of those preventive care measures so that we do not have school districts that continuously fail because we're not looking at the long term. And we also want to give them an opportunity to succeed. Obviously, we do have limits. Obviously, we do have our MSIP 5 and then the other MSIPs that will come later on. But we wanted to give them an opportunity to grow without any restrictions or any extra burdens in that sense. The bill did not require districts to provide transportation. I have now moved away from that. Current law says that a school district that is going to send students to or a school district that becomes unaccredited has the ability to send students to at least one other school district, I think that we should look at transportation. That was something that was taken out in our negotiations last year, but it's very important. We have been discussing behind the scenes different ways that we can do that. There are some people who are uncomfortable with the local school board making that decision. There have been some discussions. Perhaps the State Board of Education would make that determination of where students go. And the other thing that was in this bill that is really important, which currently happens right now, there are two assessments that every school district gets, one for the full school district, and then an assessment per building. Now, that is the very beginning of this legislation. Everything starts with every single building having an accreditation level. And from that, parents, not the institution, not the status quo, parents can make a determination of whether or not they want their kids to remain in a provisional or unaccredited school within a district, or would they be allowed to transfer to another building which is in that school district to do a better job. Because you know, our kids having the ability to grow and participate and compete with other people is really important, and I know that's part of our philosophy here in the state of Missouri. It also allowed optional increases in the school day and the hours. It authorized free tutoring for students in struggling school districts. We did have some changes in the charter school legislation. There are a few things that I know were corrective measures that we needed to approach last year. A couple of them, I want to say, were addressed, they weren't addressed, but I think one of them was addressed last year. Let's see, the transient student ratio was really, really important. Now, because some of the school districts that I represent have a transient rate at least 30%, the school by my house, two blocks from my house, has a transient rate of 25%. When you go north of my district, because I'm on the southern boundary, but as you go north in a district that looks like mine, you will experience transient rates that are as high as 57%. There is also documentation that we sent out to you last year for your own school districts when it comes to transient rates. So this calculation is very important, and for accreditation purposes, it really brings every school district in line and gives everyone an equal opportunity. Enhanced parental notification, that's very important. As we have talked in the past about parents being engaged and involved, we're not doing it to the level that we need to, and that's one of the reasons why I'm very supportive of home visits. They work When you go to parents' homes and you tell them that their student, their child, has missed a class or they're not working hard enough on their math problems, one, the parent is shocked that there's an administrator or a teacher who's coming to their home, and secondly, they're embarrassed, and it's a good embarrassment because they don't want their kid to be the laughingstock in that classroom. So having enhanced parental notification on whether or not a student is doing well in their class or in their school is one thing, but also when a school becomes provisional, an individual school becomes provisional, or when a school district becomes provisional, this is what happened in Normandy. For 20 years, the status quo upheld that it is okay for students to exist and learn in a provisionally accredited school district, and then, oh my goodness, all of a sudden, 20 years later, there's an unaccredited school district and we're in the chaos and disaster that we're in right now. Shame on us, and that's why this is the time we have to make a difference. There were two social promotion pieces in the legislation, one from the senator from the 5th district, and then the social promotion language that I had, which dealt with firewalls. If a student was not proficient, unfortunately, in many of these school districts, including the one where I serve, there are administrators and teachers that believe that a basic level of education is the ground level for a student, but it is not. So this language that deals with social promotion deals with a student being proficient in math and science. If we really care about children, and we are putting children first, what is wrong with making sure that our children are proficient, not at basic, but proficient? And some of the things that were removed from Senate Bill 22, Section 162.432, that dealt with boundary lines. That was dealt with in House Bill 1689, Section 168.205. I took that out as well because it was passed in Senate Bill 701, Section 177.011. And 8088 dealt with school leases and purchasing. That was dealt with in Senate Bill 719. There are other bills that we're going to be hearing today. We have been, and this is for the audience as well, we have been actively engaged in conversations. We are talking about options for our students. During the interim, I took time to review different charter schools in Washington, D.C., in Montgomery County. And while I know that not every single charter school is doing well, it is not up to the status quo to determine where a child goes. It is up to a parent to determine where a child goes. And if a parent chooses to send their child out of their municipality or their school district into another county, that should be the right of the parent. It's not up to us. While we do support local control, if we care about students and we're putting students first, students, not our ideology, but students, we will allow the parent to make a decision, a determination of where that student should go. I do believe that in this very complex legislation that we are approaching, that we're dealing with ongoing, that we're trying to relieve some of the burden. The way that our statute is written right now, the burden is on the sending school districts. And it's not focused on the best outcomes for students at all. It's just something that was put together decades ago as a resolution, and we were never supposed to get to the cliff and then fall off the cliff, and essentially what we have done is fall off the cliff, and now we have to, as my first grade teacher, Anna Louise Larson, used to say, we have to roll up our sleeves and put some elbow grease into it. And for those people who have been unwilling to roll up their sleeves and put their elbow grease into it, shame on you, but this is another opportunity. And we can't fail. We cannot fail this time because there have been a series of lawsuits. Now, we can be liable because we're not rolling up our sleeves, and we can go ahead and listen to the status quo as we have for decades, or we can do something that is courageous, something that puts children first regardless of where they live, whether they're in rural Missouri or whether they're in an area that looks like mine. We should not be failing our students. We should not be listening to an institution of people who want to maintain the status quo because, again, the young people that I represent are reflective of the status quo winning year after year, decade after decade, and it is costing us. It's costing us in jails around this state. It's costing us when it comes to Medicaid. It's costing us an enormous amount of money of not educating people who deserve to be educated. And if we don't do something this year, shame on us.